Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, it's the 128th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
I think this is Travis.
Last I checked, it's Chris.
Yeah. Yes,
I think, you need more inspired. I missed the openings when you went Houston Wrestling Radio, and I just like, it's the show, fuckers.
Hey, listen. It's 128 episodes. I mean, give them a break.
You know what you're listening to now. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I mean, I think you guys just did the same bit that you did the last couple of weeks right there.
That's two episodes compared to the last 80. You've been half-assing?
Yeah, you get the hell out of
it's here. Not a bit. I really don't know anymore.
You're getting old.
Old man.
Old man Travis over here. Get off my lawn.
Great. Only said that once, okay?
Yeah.
They had it coming.
Because I made sure I got my ass off of your lawn.
You learned your lesson, didn't
yes,
you?
I did. Okay. Yeah. Don't want to get sprayed by the garden hose again.
Next time, just cut the grass like you're supposed to, all right? What I pay for?
Save the fertilizing for store-bought bags.
Okay, yes. Thanks so much for tuning into our show today, guys. We got not a lot to talk about again.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Wake me when it's over.
Yeah, we got Lucha Underground, some good stuff out of there. We got some things to review with the review of NXT from before WrestleMania. Huh? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we got stuff from WWE this week leading up to Extreme Rules. But then we also have Push, Keep, Fire. Yeah. That's back.
It came back with a vengeance.
Yes, yes, we got a lot of responses from that. So thank you, listeners. We'll get to that at probably towards the end of the show. We also have
if they don't fall asleep,
right? Like some people over here. We also have a answer HWR that we're going to toss out there as well. So yeah, we got some things that we can still talk about.
We can make up enough stuff for an episode.
Yeah, you fill enough bullshit in here.
Well, speaking of what we do.
Speaking of bullshit, let's start with WWE. Pick something, Abel.
All right, let's start with the champ, Seth Rollins.
Oh, Lord. You fuggity fuck fuck.
Oh my god, the Lazy Boy statement tickles me so.
It did. I just kept giggling every time I saw him in the freaking Lazy Boy.
Don't you have any in the store you could just sit in so you can get your knockoff?
Yeah, I do.
All right, then.
Yeah, we have some of them. Yeah.
That's why I got. That's why I got amused by it, because that's what he does every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, it's other people that are actually using him. Yeah. Yeah.
On instinct, he felt like he had to go repo from him.
Yeah, yeah. For a second there. No, I don't know. It just his irreverence of everything, just sitting in the chair, just kind of made me laugh. But you know, earlier throughout the night, the whole stuff with him and Kane. Every time I see Kane and Big Show on the screen in WWE,
you throw up a little
now,
bit in your mouth, right?
A little bit. Yeah. Like, well, it's more like I heavily groan. I'm like, ugh, these guys.
Like you're taking a shit, right? And he doesn't want to come out?
Well, that's a little bit more like, hmm. Not quite the same.
No, I am, because whenever I'm like, oh man, I hope we get something decent, I see this, too, it's like,
Charles, you got to do yours now.
Again, this isn't a video podcast. I think I have to remind one of you each time.
But, yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go! Okay, so...
consistency.
But this stuff with Kane, I didn't mind it that much. And I think because they put a little bit more thought into it before the actual match itself with the finger poke of doom. But the other thing is where he was conflicted. You saw that he was gonna, you know, want to turn, but he can't because, you know, he's got, you know, a good
authority
thing going for him. Yeah, and the Big Show trying to convince him, and you could kind of see the wheels turning inside his head, and then the match comes around, and oh man, while all the stuff leading up to the match was good, I think to get to where you want it to go isn't where you should have wanted to go.
Did it feel like the finger poke from WCW to you?
A little bit. Because, I mean, I guess that's one of very few instances where something like that has actually happened. And
the only.
Yeah.
It was one of the few.
It was the finger poke of doom, but lame.
PG.
Yeah. At least when Kevin Nash did it, he tried to add a bit of comedy. Like, I'm going to rear back and hit you. No, I'm going to just poke you. And that's it. But this was like, kneel down. Okay. No, don't.
Bitch.
And I thought that if they had gone the route where they were teasing they were going to go, where Kane was just totally going to turn on the authority, I thought that would have been more interesting. What he wound up doing was, okay, I'm going to chokeslam you, but I'm going to lay down for you anyway and still do the finger poke of doom. Like, that's kind of lame. I mean, I guess they're trying to prolong the turn of whatever, but essentially you got on Raw a guy laying down for another dude.
Right.
And that's lame.
I think the problem, it's not prolonging the turn, it's what the turn is for. We had, at times, Travis was getting a little antsy pants with the Miz Dow. When's the turn? Where's the payoff? Where's this leading to? But there was enough chemistry between Miz and Miz Dow that at times you can overlook it, or at times it made you want to wait. Mm-hmm. It's fucking Kane.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if Kane even did turn, what are we going to get? Kane in a mask again instead of Kane in a suit? Okay, great. He's still Kane. I'll face it, he's past his prime. You know?
I think he should have retired after he lost the title.
Physically, he's not
like
past
2 years
his
ago?
Prime.
Yeah.
Physically, he's not past his prime, but that character, it's the shelf life's long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about just Kane the character or corporate Kane?
Just Kane and
both.
Seriously,
like the human being, Glenn Jacobs, looks like he's in pretty decent shape. He can still go.
Right.
Just do something completely different. The Kane, corporate Kane, evil Kane, mass Kane, May 13th Kane, whatever. It's gone. And we went from Isaac Yankum to Kane. Give him something different.
I thought you were suggesting the return
of Isaac Yankum, DDS.
If anybody needs a dentist
Now he's a senior partner in a big corporate conglomerate of dentist offices.
Yeah, he like owns Aquafresh.
He's got the Castle Dental like little.
Yeah. Fuck it, no, the return of fake Diesel. Why not? Yeah. Diesel 2. That would have been perfect for and Kevin Nash being inducted in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, this would have tied in perfectly. The WWE thing sucks, so...
Any comment on the Orton stuff?
Once, you know, we all knew Orton was going to get his stipulation too, which I thought that was kind of wonky, where it was going to be two stipulations for a match. I wasn't sure how I felt about that. Like, if it had been either you win and you get a stipulation, or that's it, just for Orton. Like, that was
like a beat the clock or something.
Yeah, yeah.
This ain't TNA. What the hell? Two stipulations?
Yeah, two stipulations. Yeah, two stipulations. That just seemed like it was going to be too much until they actually got to the stipulation part, which I'm kind of torn. I think it's brilliant, quote unquote, for Seth Rollins' character to ban the RKO. Like, yeah, that's great. And I also think it leads to Seth overlooking the other finisher that's like more than a finisher that he has, which is the punt. Yeah, sure, you banned the RKO, but you didn't ban the punt, bitch. Like, I want to see where that's going to go. Like, when he said, "I'm banning the RKO," I was like, "Ooh, we're going to get a punt." You know, like I got excited.
How much of that was the Lazy Boy experience and how much of that was story?
50-50.
Travis looked like he was going to have another shit face.
First of all, we're not going to get a punt because there ain't no way Orton's beaten Seth Rollins for the title.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so anyways. Secondly, as soon as I heard no RKO, I immediately thought WrestleMania 25.
Mm.
The no... What was the full stipulation of Orton Triple H at 25?
The fuck if I even remember.
Exactly. It was they couldn't use their finishers or something to that.
I thought that was a match where they used their finishers like right at the beginning.
They couldn't do something. Anyway, I remembered it was bad.
Whatever.
And I remember, I immediately thought of WrestleMania 25. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I did. And that's, I don't know. It seemed kind of lame. The stipulations, they built them up for the whole show, and then it's kind of a lame payoff.
Well, okay. That's how you feel about the No RKO. How do you feel about it being in a cage?
Oh, is it in a cage?
Yeah, that was Orton's stipulation. He wanted it to be in a cage.
Oh, okay. You know what? I don't know. I guess it's good. I mean, I don't know, because I was thinking it was something else for a stipulation. I misheard. I was doing other things when that was.
Yeah, up. It was No RKO.
He was trying to wake me up.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's what it is.
That is true, yeah.
Among other things. Yeah. Taking pictures and shit.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Finished an episode of Pop Culture Rewind. Yeah. But anyway, that's... no, I heard that. I thought it was he was going to ban the authority from ringside.
That's essentially how he did it. He was like, he said,
oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, okay. You're
great. Because they're not tall enough to climb the cage.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was a few steps behind.
Hmm. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Again, I don't know. Like, I don't know how well the match is actually going to work out, but I think that makes sense. Randy Orton saying, you know, we're going to be in a cage. That way eliminates the authority from coming in. But we all know just because it's a cage match doesn't mean that you can't have outside interference. So I'm waiting to see how that's going to play out with Randy Orton overlooking the fact that, you know, a cage isn't going to keep everybody out, you know. So I'm kind of excited, but I'm also like, well, the match might suck, but I'm not sure. So I don't know. Chris, what do you think?
Did this? There's more. There has to be more than just this match for me to get interested into the Extreme Rules pay per view.
Oh, you beat me to it, you son of a bitch! I was going to ask you, what are y'all? I mean, from Raw, some of these matches that are announced. I mean, did any of this pique your interest for Extreme
the cage Rules? Match? No.
Okay. I'll tell you what match did pique my interest: Cena versus Rusev in a Russian chain match.
Yes. A Russian chain match, you say?
Yes. We don't have explicitly from WWE, from the authority, or Michael Cole, or whoever, come out and say, hey, these are the rules.
It was posted on WWE's Twitter. That's how I know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's old school strap match. Like, they're both going to be tied to a 16-foot long chain.
Okay.
So they're going
to
be able to use
it. Do they have to go and hit the turnbuckles?
No. It's just a regular match.
A beatdown.
But except they're tied to each other with the chain, so they can use it as a weapon, or they can kill each other with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I'm thinking of chains and matches, I'm thinking Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine. But we're not going to get Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine in this match.
It's not going to get that much color. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, if it gets... It doesn't have to be color. I mean, The Rock, Triple H in the late 90s had some awesome strap matches.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't need color. They both did their job without it. And I thought they were pretty fine for what they were. I mean, it doesn't have to be freaking ECW 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they tell a good story and as long as Cena fucking loses. You know, it's one thing for Rusev to win the first match by hook or crook, but they have to find a way to keep solidifying these heels. And Cena squashing them like two or three times in a row, it's not going to do... Where does that put Rusev after it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had hope for Rusev going into Mania that he would beat Cena, and then he didn't. And now my hope for Rusev is, well, at least maybe he'll still get a couple of wins. Well, he's not even wrestling matches. His next match is going to be against Cena. Yeah. And whoa, hold on. That means that you're going to lose to Cena twice? So
Two matches in a row?
Oh, yeah. God. And the other thing, too, that kind of trips me up about this a little is that all these cutesy little open U.S. title challenge matches that Cena's doing on Raw and SmackDown between now and Extreme Rules are going to be even more blatantly obvious who's going to win. Cena's going to win. And, yeah. Trev, I know you said last week that, well, hey, don't look at it that way. Look at it as, you know, a mid-card guy getting a shot against Cena, you know, and they could have a good match. You're right. But
the only thing that would have thrown off your train of thought is if they had enough chutzpah to pull off what they could have done yesterday. Because the only person to save it, ironically enough, Barrett coming out and saying, you know what would be better than just wrestling in my hometown is beating this white boy, taking your belt, and then unifying it with the other bearded goat, having both the belts around my waist, and then who's going to fuck with me? That would have made awesome sense if they would have planned it.
But you know what? I got some bad news for you. I don't
know. Good job, Travis.
The match was kind of entertaining. It wasn't a waste. I mean, it looked pretty good for what it was. I stayed awake.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end, you know.
Which is no small feat.
Yeah, there's 11 and a half. At the end of the day, Cena won.
I mean, that bullhammer that he laid on Cena, oh, man, that was a good bullhammer. But it still got a kick out at two. So not only is this...
So now Barrett needs to make another finisher.
Yeah.
And turn his other finishers into signatures.
That's...
So he could do those four times each before he hits him with his new finisher. So Cena can kick out of that too.
Yeah. Aside from not putting over guys, which, I mean, I get it that even in a loss, you can make somebody look strong. But out of these matches, I'm not getting that vibe. Not only are you, you know, doing that, but you're also minimizing the effectiveness of their finishers. Cena's kicked out of every finisher of every opponent that he's faced since he's had the U.S. title.
Yeah. That would have been a nice moment.
He did kick out of the attitude adjustment.
Oh, that's true.
He's done that before, though.
He didn't kick out of the bounce back stunner thing.
Oh, that was ugly.
Yeah, that one was ugly.
Last night would have been a good chance for them to do like a double count out or a double knockout, something so that they could have finished it off next week.
They
to
need
have some filler to give it a compelling aspect, so you won't have the mentality that you just mentioned a few minutes ago that, oh, it doesn't matter because since the match for Extreme Rules is booked, doesn't matter who Cena's wrestling, he's going to beat him.
Yeah.
You know?
So as much as we liked Cena before U.S. title, now it's starting to get to that same...
Already.
That same formula again where, LOL, Cena wins. You know, it's like, man, I had so much high hopes over the last 2 or 3 months of, oh, we're going to get a different Cena. Not a heel Cena. That ship has sailed. But a different Cena. And we got it for a little bit. But now it's like, okay, well, we put the U.S. title on him. Oh, let's just book him like as though he had, you know, the WWE title. Like, oh, okay, great.
Well, his match on Raw wasn't as good as the Intercontinental title match.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about it, Travis.
There wasn't one.
Oh!
Problem number one. I sat there with Travis. You're not going to put your Intercontinental champion on a show from London on Raw? Fuck. Just say it. Somebody with a WWE paycheck or ID number, just tell me that there's an unofficial brand split and Bryan's going to be on SmackDown fully so I can completely check out of the character. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, again.
Well, this will probably get your panties more in a twist. You know how I was telling you before the show that some guys jumped in the ring on SmackDown? Well, guess who was wrestling?
Cena and Bryan.
Cena and Bryan versus Kid and Cesaro.
Kid and Cesaro, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Intercontinental Champion is going to be on SmackDown.
And still getting
in a tag team match.
With the U.S. champ?
With the U.S. champ.
You know, I'm making a bold prediction. Man, move Bryan back to NXT.
Oh, no.
Well, not because NXT is a downgrade, but I'd rather see what Bryan can do in NXT with Triple H in charge as opposed to this WWE Vince McMahon carnival fuckfest. Like, I'm like starting to check out of a lot of the show.
Yeah, you are.
Well, yeah. Deja vu? Like, before WrestleMania? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone, WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 31, WrestleMania 29.
Someone forgot it. He forgot, air quote, to cancel his subscription the network.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you're, I'm starting to check out now.
Yeah. Oh, just like you were done with something last week. What was he going to say was done with?
What were you done with?
I lose track. I don't know. I hate
he
everything.
Loses track. At least I remember what.
I hate everything. So what are you talking about?
Oh, fuck.
All right. Well, let's talk about something that I think was good, but maybe you guys don't think it was good. I don't know. Neville versus Dolph Ziggler.
Example B, Neville needs to go back to NXT.
You knew I was
going to
piss him off.
Neville needs to go back to NXT.
Stat.
Here's the problem. They had, as much as we don't like what they've done with them now, they had the right track with the extension. Bring them up to the main roster, have them squash jobbers, at least give them time to identify, as lame as the promos were, identify what is an ascension.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Neville's been on the show for a cup of coffee, and he's already wrestled Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, and he's about to wrestle Sheamus on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
No build, no storyline, no, hey, let's anticipate this. Like, let's build up anticipation and fever so we can actually, like, look forward to it. again, it's losing me. Fever, fervor, whatever. Like, you're going to just willy-nilly throw the shit away?
Uh-huh.
Willy-nilly.
You know, it's...
Well, that's a phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, you're right. I think that there's a little bit of lack of defining who this guy is. A lack of a Lucha Underground style vignette. Like, hey, this is the man who gravity forgot.
No, you're missing the most obvious point here.
What's that?
It was before, like, the commercial break before his first match on Raw, they did Neville is coming.
Neville's returning, yeah.
And then they just showed him doing a slow motion Red Arrow in NXT, in his NXT tights, everything. That's all we saw before. And then we get smoke and a cape and a cloak and all
purple.
This, purple, and yeah. He only has one name. And
the little meteorite on the Titantron.
He only has one name.
Here I come to save the day.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. There was one thing that happened on SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really part of the match. He fought
Curtis Axel. Yeah, build up for Curtis Axel's moment at Extreme Rules.
Yes.
Brother.
Anyway, so Neville came out, and they did the grand stage entrance thing for him and everything, but he turns around, puts his hands up in the air, and his hair's back, and all you see is
his ears sticking out.
Dude,
if like your ears, a car door, like a car going down the hill with both doors open.
Yeah, dude, leave your hair down, please. Mm-hmm. you're going against the grain with being what, 4 foot tall or whatever he is, and now the big ears.
He's a hobbit, basically.
Yeah,
with a cape and a cloak. Purple set of green.
I'm telling you, Vince is trying to sneak in that whole Mighty Mouse gimmick without actually having the Mighty Mouse gimmick. Vince probably said, "Hey, why don't you put your hair up, brother?" Knowing full well that this guy has Dumbo ears.
I swear, one day he just flicked, like, got the clicker and stumbled on Boomerang. And there was Mighty Mouse.
Yeah.
I know, he looked like Neville. Ears and all. Yeah. I'm gonna get him.
They'll all fall for it.
And it's a shame because I really enjoyed the match itself. I mean, we're giving Neville so much crap, basically because of his presentation. Once you get between the belts, especially with him and Ziggler, I really enjoyed the match. Here's good.
Well, again, slight issue.
Alright, what's the slight issue?
Nothing to disagree with what you said about his actual ability. We know what his ability is. He can go. We've seen him in NXT, former champ.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen on Raw is Neville booking 101. Like, all the same matches, all the same spots, everything.
Almost in order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm now waiting for the somersault flips all the way across the side.
It's one thing to have five moves of doom. It's another thing to have match of doom.
Moveset of doom. But I get it. They're just, it's the introduction phase of him in the main roster. I just hope that he doesn't get saddled and stuck with everything we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hoping that the cloak thing, that goes away, like, next week.
Yeah.
I don't see that staying long term. I think that's just a thing they're trying out. I don't think it's going to work out. And I think once he gets familiar and the other guys start getting familiar with working with it, because I think the match with Rollins, well, it was a damn good match.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But the Ziggler match was okay. Axel's match was okay. But it's the same. I'm getting the same thing out of him.
I think what would benefit Neville is what's benefiting a certain primetime team going on right now. They need time on the mic so they can show the other side of their character,
mm-hmm.
so that we can understand.
Have what you heard Neville talk?
Number one, I haven't.
Well, there you go.
And number two, it would help me for me to further hate or actually like the guy if I knew what he had to say.
Yeah,
you know, he's to me already. I have the impression just by looking at him, he's a creative wrestler that somebody got high on and padded a cape to him, mm-hmm. but. If for me to get that mentality off of him, I need to see something of him that's personalized only of him.
They should have put him on the mic. He's from England.
I mean, hell, they gave Connor's dad a good 30 minutes during the Hall of Fame.
He's got more promo time.
I am not ruining this podcast by talking about that crap. Primetime players.
He's got more promo time than that guy.
Who did the primetime players insult this week?
Los Matadores.
Lost Matadores.
Yes.
The fact that they actually broke
Puerto Rican bullfighters.
Yes!
They broke the fourth wall. They actually called him out for being Puerto Ricans.
I loved it.
Freaking awesome. I loved it so much.
At first, I didn't... It started off slow. I didn't like the start of it. It was kind of lame.
It was kind
of
cheesy.
But, dude, when they dropped all that stuff and just tore into him, oh, God, it's wonderful. Uh-huh.
Favorite insult so far? Matadores, New Day, Ascension.
New Day, I think.
Probably New Day. I think it got, like, really personal with them. Yeah. So I think that, yeah.
The chest thing with Kofi. Yeah.
Nobody has ever, like, I've brought that up so many times. I've even brought that up on the podcast. And, like, only half the people that I've talked to about this are like, oh, yeah, you're right. But the other half are like, oh, hell yeah, you're right. You know, but, like, for somebody else to finally bring that up. And
on TV.
I loved it. Loved it so much. Little crater chest motherfucker.
Travis, tell me something about Raw you liked that stuck out to you.
Okay, we had a Diva Battle Royal.
Okay, you liked the Battle Royal?
No.
Okay. You might need to rephrase the question for him.
We're getting there.
Okay,
we're getting there. The build up in the purpose of the Battle Royal was just fucking retarded, as is Raw nowadays. Mm-hmm. But Page won, which after celebrating, we had a vengeful Naomi attacker heel turn, which we weren't sure if that was heel turn at first, but then she keeps beating up on her and she's laughing about it and she tears off her Uso shirt. Okay, I think she's a heel.
Yeah.
But it made sense for her heel turn, I think.
Because her boyfriend's out for 6 months. Yeah. If that's the right one. Or if not, she can always go with the other one. No one knows the difference.
All right, storyline wise, it made sense. Especially
good thing about twins, and you have a backup.
All right, yeah. But Abel,
is it really called a threesome though? If they both look the same,
two and a half some.
Okay,
right. Just making up shit now.
Yeah, a clone some.
Good night, everybody.
Jedi, you are not.
I'm sorry, Travis.
The money shot, Travis. Get to it.
Yes. Oh, no. There was a promo after the thing, a backstage promo.
Yeah.
You liked it.
I did. I liked it a lot. The only thing that I didn't like about it was at the beginning when she was teasing, like, oh, yeah, I'm disappointed in myself, whatever. You didn't need all that. Just get into where she got into, which was kind of... I mean, I don't want to say that it was exactly like how the Primetime Players did, because with the Primetime Players, it was... them calling out the WWE on their bullshit, but being humorous about it. With Naomi, she was calling WWE out on their bullshit, but was serious about it. So I really like the fact that, you know, we got, you know, a couple of different people calling WWE out on their bullshit, you know, where she just said, why was there a battle royal? I beat the champ twice. There's no reason for it to happen. AJ was in the same class as me of NXT, and she's retired, and everyone's calling her a legend. What the hell?
I love that
part. Oh, yes. So good. Yeah. So good. I loved it. And again, I guess it's like the whole Deadpool thing. Breaking the fourth wall and all of a sudden, boom, that becomes popular. So maybe it's a little bit of that. Maybe they'll continue to do it. I don't know.
I think some of the best heels are when they stand behind their convictions and their convictions make sense to the naked eye. Austin.
Yeah.
To a lesser extent, the Cena Rock feud where they were calling each other out on their bullshit because you knew it was real.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Shawn Michaels Undertaker.
This stuff with Naomi, if there's consistency with it, she could wind up being to the point where, like Punk, where she's so bad that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the heel stuff. He could be such a bad heel, like an evil heel, that it becomes like the anti-hero out of it.
And when's the last time, if ever, we've seen a diva anti-hero?
I think Paige was supposed to be, but that quickly changed
after
she debuted.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. I'd argue. A pissed off heel diva?
My head's starting to hurt because
a pissed off face diva.
No, you're making my head hurt, Chris. Stop talking. You just compared. You just compared a diva to Stone Cold Steve Austin. You're getting shit on me right now.
Focus on Naomi's ass.
That does make it a lot better.
That sweet little turd cutter.
You had to go.
You know?
You're racist on me.
Wow.
Now, Naomi. What did you think? You asked Abel what he thought. What did you think of the promo?
I'm glad it wasn't just one woman hating on another woman just because they're both women. That's what WWE likes to do with their divas. That's how they make heels.
Like, oh, they're just jealous and catty.
Exactly.
That's what she had reason.
Yes, and that's...
Yeah, because this is from episode 8 from season 1 of Total Divas that happened 2 years ago, but we're watching it now, so you want you to be mad now.
Actually, no, I don't think this was from Total Divas.
No, I know. That's further Travis's point. This is something legitimate.
Oh, that is not what you just said.
Yeah, this is... She actually had defined reasons for what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And that... Bravo. Yes.
Golf clap.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's
all right.
Yeah, but, yeah. We had another turn. It wasn't a heel turn, more of a face turn. Does it matter? I don't know. Fandango, because they realized, hey, we killed his character.
The money's in the music.
Yeah. That music, and granted, yeah, they were in London, and London tends to be a fairly good mark crowd, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. They're a good mark crowd. The minute. Not even the minute, the like half second where they heard, where they heard his old music, boom, insta face, like holy shit, that's probably the quickest 100% face turn I've seen in a long time. Like it went from like apathy and like not caring and groaning to holy shit, this is awesome, like in 0.1 second flat.
That heel turn, or not was it a heel turn, this is a character change for Fandango.
It was a boring turn.
It was forced. It didn't make sense.
It was a character refresh that didn't need a refresh.
Yeah. Now, if they had done something to where they had made him like a different dance type, like every month or something like that, or every week, or he would come out a different style.
Like hip hop in New York next week.
Yeah, something. No, you joke, but yeah, something to where it was different, but it's still music.
Yeah.
Still music related.
That'd be cool if he came out with like a piece of cardboard and like the boombox and just started busting moving.
They're in Seattle, he goes grunge.
The Snoop Lion behind him smoking a joint.
Right.
No.
Nashville and he starts boot scooting boogieing.
Shut up, Abel.
Me were gushing over Reigns Big Show.
I don't know if I say I was gushing, but you know, I was leaking.
What?
No, again, going back to what I was saying about Kane, Kane and Big Show both nowadays, now, not back in 2000, like I have a completely different opinion of them then, but now it's like, I don't want to see him. I don't care anymore. Like, please, whatever, get him off my TV.
Well, the fans are chanting, please retire.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to go that far, but it's like, it's getting to that point. But last night, I kind of like what he did to Roman. Like, he kind of tossed him around, threw him into the freaking British car or whatever it is, a taxi, and chokeslammed him
on there.
Yeah,
it's called a car.
It's called a car? Is that what those things are called?
An automobile.
Is that what they call them in England?
Yes.
An auto?
Yeah. Mobile.
Mobile.
Auto?
Auto?
Mobile.
Mobile.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or car for sure.
Yeah.
Let's get some real perspective here. Would you have liked it if it was Batista that gave Roman Reigns that beatdown?
Oh, God. Maybe. I don't know. Because on the one hand, it's Batista. But on the other hand, it's beating the shit out of Roman Reigns.
Now, what you're saying about Fandango instant face turn?
Batista instant face turn.
Maybe. No, I mean, I kind of enjoyed it. It was brutal, and it was Big Show being Big Show and tossing him around like the way he should, because damn the Big Show. He should be doing this to people on a consistent basis, on the reg, but he doesn't. And now that he did it the one time, it's great. Is he going to continue to do it? I don't know, but at least I'm going to enjoy the one moment where he's doing it.
I'm going to say one thing about Big Show, and I don't think I've ever said this before, but I think, especially now that he's won the Battle Royal and all this sort of stuff, I think now... Take him off TV, make him a special attraction. Like, maybe once you see him come in as a special surprise, or like someone needs a tag team partner, let's bring in, you know, surprise Big Show. You know, make it special for him to be there. I don't think he needs to be there.
Or like someone needs to like screw in a light bulb, but they don't have a ladder. Here comes Big Show. And, yeah, there you go. He could reach.
You know, normally that'd be a really stupid fucking statement to say, but this is WWE, so yeah.
You like the segment.
You get great Khali for that, okay?
Oh.
You like the segment, but here's a genuine question.
Yes.
Did that segment garner sympathy for you for Roman Reigns?
No.
okay, so then that just is pointless.
Yeah, they didn't succeed.
As much as you like it, it didn't really.
I liked it because it didn't garner sympathy from me from Roman Reigns. I was like, yeah, beat that motherfucker.
That's it for Raw, unless y'all wanted to bring up anything else.
No.
Travis, no.
I'm all out of angst right now.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm done with stuff. I mean,
can we talk about Lucha now?
Almost.
Oh.
We were talking about this earlier before we started hitting the record button. Cena's opening salvo was probably voicing a lot of the WWE Universe opinion from down there.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania should be in London.
Yes. He said that, he mentioned that before last time. I don't really remember it, but he said, oh, it got me some heat, but whatever. I would agree with him. I mean, SummerSlam 92, goddamn. SummerSlam 1992, you know, was really great over there, you know, in Wembley. It was a great test run.
Says the Bret Hart mark.
Yeah, I know. It was a great test run for 20 years later. Maybe they'll do something else in London. Like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure. Fuck. Put it
like
in London.
Was it that much of a cost factor to the company to produce a pay-per-view?
A WrestleMania with a pre-show starting at noon and the show starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like football. Like, it. I could dig it.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it. As long as it's not outdoors. That way you can have dark entrances. But yeah.
Trap? You with those damn... See? Damn it.
So maybe, well, Wembley Stadium, I think, is an open roof still.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, so maybe not Wembley.
And maybe... And well, we joke about that, about the being too light outside and things like that. But so much of wrestling is theatrics and the entrances and presentation. And you can't... that you obviously, from WrestleMania, you saw, you lose a big portion of that of during it doing daylight. So if you... Now... Not to say if you book your card right, if you know who you're gonna have, like,
and control the sun like Truman Show.
Shut up. Like, you know, Undertaker's, he's not WrestleMania anything to worry about that.
Right.
Don't worry about putting Bray Wyatt on there. It's his interest. But everybody else, sure, why not?
I mean, they pulled off a badass fucking entrance with Rusev.
Well, he had a fucking tank, Abel.
Yeah, he had a tank for that. Exactly. It doesn't matter. So I mean, you can work your way around it, knowing that the sun's going to be up. But right. I think somebody forgot that, oh, the sun's still going to be up when we, you know, do the Undertaker and Bray Wyatt entrance and da da da. Yeah. You know.
That's another topic we don't want to get into. But for
the purposes of this conversation, if they went to Wembley? Wembley?
Wembley?
Wembley?
Wembley?
Yeah, if they went there, yeah, sure, why not?
And everybody had their Wibowies?
Yeah. Yes, the Wibowies were good. Yeah.
And the Pywol?
Pywol?
Where would you like to see a Raw or a pay-per-view anywhere around the globe?
Okay. Is that our
answer? Are you just asking us or what?
That's our answer HWR for the week.
Answer HWR. Use the hashtag, people. Go on to Facebook or Twitter and answer us that. Where would you like to see a pay-per-view or a Raw anywhere around the globe? So, no, I understand most of our audience here is from Houston. Don't say Houston. Like,
we had it. You saw how the last one turned out. Do you really want that again?
Someplace where they aren't normally at, you know?
I love the Mexico City Raw. And the SmackDown from Japan was kind of fun, too.
I think what originally, just for a little backstory on this, yesterday, oddly enough, we're trying to have conversations because Raw was putting us to sleep. So we're mentioning that different... like, we see it, like, Japan and England and Mexico. We see those once in a while taped.
Yeah, like, when they go to the UK, it's always London. Always London.
Yeah.
London, London, London. Manchester? London, 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 London. Yeah. You know? And it's like, man, it'd be nice to see a Raw in a different place.
I would like to see a pay-per-view in a Tokyo Dome.
Oh,
that'd be cool.
WCW did it.
Yeah.
WWE, are you saying that WCW is better than you?
Yeah. How about another, like, the other side of the fucking planet? Why not Sydney? That'd be cool.
How far is that from Tokyo?
Well, the other side of the planet from...
Hemispheres.
From London, not Tokyo. Okay.
Yeah. What's that building? I can't remember the name of that building. The
Sydney Opera House?
Is that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, have it from there?
Yeah. Sure. Nice. And I'm sure the Australian crowd will just go crazy. But you know what? We're stealing our own thunder for next week, so let's
stop. So shut the hell up.
Yeah. Listeners, you tell us what you think about that. And
don't say the moon.
And there's going to be people that's going to say the moon.
We're wrestlers on the moon. We carry a harpoon.
It sounds like we need a break. Yes. Travis, you want to take a break?
I want to go home.
You are home!
We'll wake you when it's over.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Let's take a break.
Get off my lawn.
Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? You want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it, we talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
Buddy, great news. We cut out the middleman and we printed out our own t-shirts, and we have a bunch that's available for sale. We have three of our great designs: our Houston Wrestling Radio black and white parental advisory shirt, the Monsoon Banana Company shirt in yellow, and the Bullet Bill Club design, also available in double XL size. Already on hand to be delivered straight to you. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or send us an email at HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com and get them while they're available.
This is Amazing Kong, also known as Karma, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Alright guys, we're back. Thank you for listening to our show, all that good stuff. What do we got up next now? What are we going to talk about?
Lucha! Lucha! Lucha!
Oh, Lucha.
Underground, yeah.
Oh, Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
Lucha Underground. Not Dragons.
Who?
Kalisto. And his sucky partner.
Yeah. Travis. Yeah. First thing that pops in your head when we talk about last week's Lucha.
Oh, the opening match. Trios match. Tournament match.
Mm-hmm.
We had a... The teams are coming up with... God damn. Son of Havoc. Angelico. And Ivelisse.
Yeah.
First of all, when all three people come out and the fans don't know who to cheer for first, that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
And their opponents... Not to take away anything from the other team, Drago and Error Star, or, ooh, they are in a best of five series now. Let's put them in a tag to match together. and Phoenix.
Yeah.
Who I think the last time we saw them was the...
casket match.
The casket match, yeah. So...
Grave consequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this match, so entertaining. So they tell so many stories just in that one match.
And it's funny, because most of the stories were on... each team.
Right,
not,
that's what I'm saying.
Not against their opponents, but within themselves, on both sides of the ring.
Hey, look, if one person on the team happened to be fighting a person on the other team, so be it. But it's going to be them mixing between each other and them fighting between each other. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, and it goes back to just their style of Lucha Underground, putting the women in with the men, treating them as equals.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's my match of the week pick.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
It was fun. Yeah. Another week, another opening up the show with a fun match. It entertained the fuck out of me. Just the threesome between Angelico and Havoc and freaking Ivelisse just bickering amongst each other. And then the other side that I really liked, if there wasn't already enough tension with the handshake of death after that fourth match, man, they really
slapfest, man.
They really set the tone for what I think they're building up to something huge in this last match. I think we're going to see.
Because we still don't know what they're fighting for either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This I'm expecting like
for cigar.
I can't fucking wait, dude.
Yeah.
There's so much that's going on just separating the teams and what it's spawning off, and just bringing this together just solidified what everyone stood for mm-hmm. in their own agendas and their own story.
Right.
And it couldn't have been done any better. That's my match that we picked.
I think that's my pick too. But before you even go there, I'm not saying
me
anything
either.
More than that. It's just, and I hate to keep going back to Lucha as the my picks, but damn it.
Yeah.
WWE, step up.
Yeah, I mean, I would really have loved to throw out a candidacy there for Neville versus Ziggler. I know that it's not my pick, and I know it's definitely not your guys' pick, because you guys were, you know, lower downer on that. Downer? Is that?
I was a downer on it,
yeah.
If they would have announced it in the beginning and had me build up to it, then I might have been a little bit more optimistic.
Mm-hmm. WWE can do good matches. Lucha is doing... they're putting the entertainment back in wrestling. Mm-hmm. And it's not just flippy-dippy stuff. Yeah, you got that. It's part of the show. But they don't hide from it. And the announcers even said on the show...
the theme of the night, DDT.
Well, he said it too. But he was saying it's... what did he say? It's become tradition in the temple. The match will go anywhere. So they're acknowledging that's what you're gonna see. But when we just mentioned the storylines between the teams themselves, that storyline, that's, you're telling a story, but keeping it fresh and...
Exactly. Cause look at it this way. If this was Raw and they just, okay, well, we're gonna have a 6-man tag. Those other storylines won't be as prominent, and it'll be like, oh, they just kind of threw these teams together, whatever, it doesn't make sense. But with this, it was like, okay, here's this big match that we have to do. We have to get along, but we're not, and they like own it. They really put everything into it, into that storyline, where if this was Raw or SmackDown, it's like, okay, whatever, throwaway match before the pay-per-view. But this is like, no, this, we don't have pay-per-views. This is our pay-per-view. This means something.
Every show could be our last show.
It's our trios tournament, damn it. We need to make sure that we try to work together, but fuck this motherfucker. But I need to work with you, but damn it, I hate you. And it worked, you know?
I love the spot where they were on the outside and Ivelisse was gonna go and do her little flipping stuff outside the ring,
and she got cock-blocked.
Twice.
Yes.
Like she was about to do it, and then Son of Havoc took her, stole her thunder, and then she was gonna do it again, and then here comes Phoenix. I think Phoenix stole her thunder the second time, and then that's when she actually called him, called him out, come up here, fight me, and then his dumb ass goes over the top rope, bam, the rope being a foreign object to his neither region there. And then she used him as a stepladder to go on the outside. So it was everything they do on that show. And Helico, fucking...
he's a diamond in the rough, man.
Dude, he's growing something on about me. Him. He's got...
he's growing on me like a fungus.
Yeah.
He's got the it factor, I think.
You know what he kind of feels to me a little bit? A little bit like old school RVD, but not in his wrestling style, but more in his... character style, like whatever. Like, oh yeah, I just did that.
He's a new age.
Let me
RVD.
Fix my hair.
Yeah,
swing it to the side. I know I'm pretty, even though nobody wants to fuck me. I don't care.
It's like RVD. Appearance wise, he kind of looks like Dean Ambrose a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Just the hairline. But his selling technique is, I don't know what he's doing, how he does it, but he makes it look like he's getting killed in that fucking ring.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole match, they can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Let's go to, you want to go to the main event real quick?
Sure.
The other one?
Yeah, sure. It was a title match.
Yes.
King Corno and Prince Puma. I loved the psychology of Prince Puma coming out.
With the little jaguar head. Yeah.
It was a Puma.
Oh, Puma, whatever.
Yeah. But, that, again, storyline. They were setting up the trios match for the following week. So he had to bring out his guys, cause Corner brought out his guys. I'm not a big fan of King Corner's team, just cause Tejano and
Cage. The Machine.
It makes sense because they're the heels and they got the monsters on their side, I guess.
I think that is the most generic team we've gotten so far. But even then, it kind of makes sense because I could see Dario Cuarto saying, we're going to put all you guys on one team together. Like, and he was the one who was like teasing it, like, you don't know who this team's gonna be, and they're gonna fucking kick your ass. Like, he didn't say it like exactly like that, I don't think, but he built it up. You could tell he knew his character anyway. Knew,
like he said, so, you might want to get your team ready tonight.
Yeah. So,
and I love the slow burn between what's going on between Puma and Hernandez and Conan.
Yeah,
I haven't really. As I was already expecting something to happen already. But they've had, because they've had opportunities to screw them if they needed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this now with Mundo coming in.
I told you about Mundo, man.
Yeah.
Don't trust that Mundo.
Dude, something's gonna blow with this match.
What I love about that too is that, yeah, sure, Puma's the face, but it might be him doing something wrong. Would be the thing that sets all this off. You know, he's the face, but he's the one that's paranoid a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Paranoid about what's, about the connection with Hernandez. Like, Hernandez is just some dude who, like, came in and was like, hey, what's up, kid?
He's from LAX?
Yeah, he's from LAX. Not just like,
that.
Hernandez was nice to him.
Yeah. Not he hasn't done anything to show that he should be suspicious.
That he should be suspicious, yeah.
But it's the paranoia because of who he's being trained by. The one guy that has such history of being a dick that even freaking Vampiro on commentary refuses to acknowledge anything positive about the guy.
Right.
It's like...
Like, Stryker gave him a compliment, and then he said he's the legendary Conan, and Vampiro was like,
where?
Yeah, how can you say that, you know?
Yeah. But see, the thing is, though, Puma has shown trust in Conan before, so he's still his mentor, you know? So it would be kind of a dick move, kind of a heel move to say, fuck you and fuck Hernandez and, you know, just blow up on him.
And that's the best part. Who's going to flinch first? Is Conan going to turn on his teacher? On his student? Or is Puma actually going to stand up to Conan?
Exactly. Because Puma will be the face, but he's still doing the heel thing, which is turning on his teacher for no reason. You know? But it's great because it works.
You know what I like about this?
My voice gets so high-pitchy when I talk about this.
You get excited. You're marking out. What I like about this is because it's Lucia... I really don't know where they're going.
You can't predict it.
I like it.
Yeah.
And they don't label it.
Yeah.
So Conan doing his deed on Puma might not necessarily be a heelish move by the fans that are watching.
Right.
Because if he has enough reason to justify it, he could be winding up turning good out of it.
Right.
As opposed to Puma. Or hell, whatever Mundo's up to.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And hell, Hernandez, whatever he's up to. Because for the most part, Hernandez was genuinely helping him.
Yeah. Like I said, Puma had that title match last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. But and that was Hernandez's debut, and Conan was out there. They had plenty of opportunity to screw him over out of the title, and they didn't do that. So I don't know where they're going, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
There is one thing I did not like.
What's that? Get to it, man. Get to it.
This was my first offense for Lucha.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. They.
Because I thought we've had a first offense.
You had one.
I had one.
With the Last Man Standing match.
That's right.
This is my... It really rubbed me the wrong way. It was the match. It was supposed to be just Sexy Star versus Superfly.
Gotcha.
Fine. Whatever. But now we get into the fact that this match was made... Here's. Let me back up for a second. Dario Cueto.
Yeah.
We've said before in the past that we like him as an authority figure because he's different from other authority figures, right? He's doing something that makes sense, and he's kind of playing chess, sort of, right? This week, he actually did the standard heel authority, I'm going to put this match together with these two faces for the fact that you are two faces.
Okay.
And then, you know what? I want y'all to really fight each other, so I'm going to make this a mask versus match. Mask versus mask match.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do that. And to me as a fan, I already know that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But when the commentators, especially Vampiro, because he's very passionate about the heritage and everything like that, going off about how that's a big...
Normally it's safe for a big rivalry feud to blow off that way.
And for it to be so just kind of randomly tossed out there, just for the sake of to humor the authority figure in charge, let's go and do that.
So you're suffering from my Neville initiative. build instead of just giving it away.
Sort of. I'm more irritated with the fact that it was just the heel authority thing itself. On top of that, we did get the mask removal from, spoiler alert, Superfly. But
he was ugly.
Yeah.
I thought he was psychosis there for a second. I honestly
on
did.
On a Taco Bell binge?
We found him! No, my other issue was, it was more humorous bad, but like there were, after he removed his mask and it's like, after all this time, the legendary Superfly, this and that, and it's like, dude, you've only been in here, we've seen you like three times. You know? It's like, so it's probably a big deal if this was in Mexico in AAA, mm-hmm. but Lucha on US television.
20 episodes in.
Mm-hmm. And he's only been in like, I think three or four matches. He hasn't been in a whole lot. So, but the fact they're building him up as this big superstar.
Who hasn't gotten a win since he showed
up. Yeah. Hell, she had to save him from getting his arm broken.
Yeah.
And that's my saving grace. It's Lucha. You make your decisions. You live with it. Like, if you want to boo the bad guys, if you want to cheer the bad guys, you can. They did a good job of reminding us, as much as we like Pentagon Jr., Pentagon's the bad guy. And mm-hmm. this is the first time in a long time that he got the reaction that his character has been deserving. Because this is the first...
Boo.
The booing. Like, he literally, like, finally, sympathetic guy, just lost his mask, just went through hell. Oh, let me break his arm. Okay, now we're finally going to get the crowd to boo you. I loved it. And the fact that the crowd booed, I like him even more. But that's the benefit. That's the green card of being a Lucha fan. You can do whatever you want down there whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But man, solidifying the character that he'll do... anything to serve his, to please his master.
No,
I like that aspect.
Let me say this here. If the whole point of him losing the mask in a thrown away mask versus mask match was to get heel heat for Pentagon, I might have a different train of thought on that whole segment itself.
I think,
but as is the way it was,
yeah.
I had issues with it.
I think Superfly may be the equivalent of Famous B. You know, somebody else that they just used to put over Sexy to get heat on Pentagon, and that's it. So I'm kind of okay with it, because he's just, the expendable guy at the end of the movie that just needs to die to show that the bad guy is really as
the
bad
red shirt.
As he is.
Yeah.
The only difference
is this jobber went from being a jobber to Barry Horowitz, sentimental-wise.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then all that sentiment just got shoved right down your broken heart by having Pentagon break the arm that goes with the heart. Like,
yeah.
That's basically what happened.
Well, I think what they're trying to do was shift some of that sentiment to Sexy Star.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
and I think it worked. I'm okay with it.
I can't wait to see the crucifixion of Sexy Star.
That
He's
might
put
actually
up a
be...
fucking hell of a fight, though.
I want to see that fight.
I
want to see that fight. I want to see Pentagon versus Sexy Star. No bullshit like with Big Rick, where he's like, okay, I'm just going to force your shoulders to the mat. Like, no, 100% fight. Let them go and see what they can do.
They're building it up, yeah.
Yeah.
As of right now, we've already gone through the whole episode of Lucha. 3 weeks from now, $25 pay-per-view without even seeing the card. Are you buying?
Pay-per-view for what? For Lucha?
Yeah.
There's doing a pay-per-view?
No.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Dude, you about gave me a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, that answered my question. You're buying. Would you buy a Lucha Underground pay-per-view?
He's buying. I'm watching it. No, yeah, I would pay $25 for a...
For a Lucha pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Would you pay $45?
Maybe. Are y'all chipping in?
Would you pay $50?
Well, if I'm questioning $45, why would I say $50?
I'm trying to find your limit.
Would you pay for a Lucha Underground pay-per-view before paying for another WWE pay-per-view?
I don't pay for WWE pay-per-views.
Again, hypothetical.
If the network exploded right now and didn't work anymore, and you had to go back to old school pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah, I'd pick Lucha over WWE. All
right.
It wouldn't make sense for me to... No, I've been shitting over WWE for like 6 months now, and now and I've been praising Lucha. Why would I say no, I'm not going to buy a pay-per-view? Hey, real quick about Lucha. We haven't mentioned this aspect of Lucha on our show at all, but have y'all checked out their Facebook page?
No. Well, I have. I liked them, but
they're,
I don't know what you're getting at.
They're, they'll post up things throughout the day. They'll do like preview like screenshots of like the next week's episode.
Yeah.
And they'll do like review screenshots from the previous week, but they won't reveal anything about that, which I like that. But they always have, I guess it's like fan art or parody art or whatever.
I've seen that.
But they always bring up those, and some of those are pretty fucking funny. So I guess shout out to them, I guess. I don't know. Subscribe to them. like their Facebook page and see that. Or just go to their Facebook page. And
see if you're as entertained on the Facebook as you are on the show.
Yeah. Support them, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Support them.
Okay. That's it for Lucha.
All right.
You want to go to the neighborhood?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. NXT.
You sound so disappointed.
Well, because this happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I knew what this episode was. I put it on. I kicked back the recliner. I fell asleep.
Really?
I was done. And I didn't even feel like going back trying to watch it. Just because it was the recap episode of the Mania Access thingamajiggy.
Tournament.
Yeah.
I saw the first match, Neville versus Balor. I mean, Breeze versus Balor. Okay. But the vibe of it being in front of WrestleMania, in front of, to build up to something that already happened,
mm-hmm.
it kind of threw me off. Mm-hmm. And I stopped watching it. And then a few days later, a friend on Facebook told me that he really liked the mini WWE 24 episode of Itami's Road to WrestleMania. I was like, oh, okay, I need to watch that. So I fast-forwarded to the end. Mm-hmm. So I missed, I think I wound up seeing some of Itami Neville, which I thought was okay too. But I skipped Valor Itami, number one, because that's another situation where you should build that.
Yeah.
Instead of just giving that away unannounced to build up to something that's already happened.
Yeah.
And number two, I loved the mini, the little Itami thing at the end.
The little mini documentary?
I loved it.
I did too.
Maybe I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, watch the last 15 minutes. It's funny. Like his kids are trying to do the go to sleep to each other.
Yeah.
Hogan's actually, it's kind of like a documentary style. Like there's a couple of wrestlers talking during the during the clips.
Well, fuck, dude, you said that they should do that like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Oh, have Hogan go show the footage of Hogan putting him over. They did that.
They literally had Hogan on camera saying, "Yeah, that's the guy that invented the go to sleep."
Yeah,
you know,
and then Tommy the himself fact saying, that Hogan it's admitted, mine. I took
the
it back.
That Hogan admitted, yeah, when I went in that Tokyo arena, and I hadn't heard that sound for me in a long time in Japan, and then to realize that the sound got louder when Kenta came out, I was like, wow, all right, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, this is the kind of video package I would like to see on WWE for Neville. So that we can understand why we should give a shit about Neville.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he's a former NXT champ that's lost every single match except his first match. Okay. What does that do to Neville? What does that do to the credibility of NXT?
Yeah, and they do this for Itami, who's the guy who's not permanently on the main roster. He was just in the Memorial Battle Royal, and he lost halfway through it. That's it. So you'd put all the time and effort to put together a badass video package that puts him over, like, as shit and gives him, you know, so much backstory that people actually care about it, and you do it for the guy that you're not going to keep on the roster? Yeah, they should do something like that for Neville.
I'm kind of disappointed in hearing about it now because I feel that Itami was getting we knew that he was getting the slow burn for the push.
Mm-hmm.
You could just tell. Like, Balor was like fast-paced.
Yeah.
Even then, now, it's like, I don't know what's going on with NXT. I didn't know that Owens was out with surgery.
Oh, yeah, he was out, but it was like a really short surgery. One of those where they just scope the knee and that's it. He's out for a couple of weeks.
Next tapings, he'll be back.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's been a loss of momentum since WrestleMania for NXT, the show itself.
Since TakeOver, I think.
Yeah. Since TakeOver.
It's fallen a little flat.
I don't know. There's something missing. I don't know what it is exactly, but like Balor, I want to see more of him, but I feel like I'm not getting that on the shows. Itami, maybe it's just that feud with Breeze. I couldn't get into.
Because you don't like Breeze?
Yeah, really. And it's just, and the fact that the way y'all are mentioning that it was a badass promo, but it was tagged on the very end of a recap episode that no one on WWE obviously gives a shit about telling anybody about.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that kind of irritates me.
You know, I got to interject here, though. the three matches that were shown on there, even though it was quote unquote recap, it was something that I hadn't seen before. So knowing full well that it was, you know, 2 weeks old, it was before WrestleMania. Like, I put all that shit aside and I was like, well, I want to watch the match and see what these guys can do when they're paired up together, because we haven't seen that before. And all of the matches were solid. Mm-hmm. I liked them all. I would make a few of them Match of the Week candidates.
My issue is, why wasn't that on a takeover where you can get subscribers, where you can get live in the moment reactions and feels, as opposed to something that's stale dated?
Yeah.
You know? Like, they had all that attention on the network, everything. They had WrestleMania week.
Why didn't on the they network. Air this live during on Thursday night, Friday night?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They, why were, not only that, why are we getting it 2 weeks after WrestleMania? Not the following week after WrestleMania, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least have it as a special edition, not like an actual episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's so much. That whole thing just threw me off altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Frazzle.
But well, the matches were good and the video package was nice. So, yeah. Ta-da.
Watch the video package, Trev. You will not be all disappointed.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of disappointment, hashtag push, keep, fire. Oh, we brought that back with a vengeance.
That is not any disappointment.
No, I'm disappointed in some of these answers. We're going to get to the question, literally. Travis, what was it that we asked our listeners?
All right. With all the new additions to the WWE roster from NXT,
from WrestleMania weekend.
From WrestleMania, the debuts. We had the Lucha Dragons, but more specifically, we had Kalisto, because Sin Cara is Sin Cara. So Kalisto debuted. We had Neville debut. And to a lesser extent, on WrestleMania, Tommy made his debut in a WWE ring in the biggest fucking show of the year. So that's where we're getting at for the push, keep, fire. Like, out of those three guys, who would you push? Who would you keep? And who would you fire?
Before we get to our listener results, put your phone down! Don't get any stimulation from the outside.
I've already read these. I was just finding them so that I have them ready.
Okay, you. Who are you pushing? Who are you keeping? Who are you firing, Abel?
Well, this is very difficult, as you know, all of our listeners have found it to be difficult. However, like I said, I've already read all of them on both Facebook and Twitter. And you're kind of messing up what I had planned to say by forcing me to say it, without knowing what they said, because I do know what they said. And I was going to agree with a couple of people from Facebook, and they actually swayed me. I think that we should push Kalisto. Push Kalisto.
Why?
He is the guy that can most maximize your fan base and get more money off of. You could sell the shit out of those fucking masks. It will bring in the Hispanic audience, which has kind of been, you know, sometimes wishy-washy. You lost some of that with Mysterio being out. Sin Cara was a bust. Okay, boom, put Sin Cara in there. So, Kalisto in there. And Kalisto, you know, he could go, and, you know, he's entertaining enough. He could definitely fill that role and for selling the fucking masks, for, you know, being the guy that the Hispanic crowd will be like, hey, I want to tune in and watch this guy in particular.
Rey Mysterio Jr.?
Alberto Del Rio Jr., whatever. Tito Santana Jr. So yeah, that brings it down to am I going to keep and who am I going to fire between the other two? That's even harder because I don't want to fire either one. But if I'm looking at it the same way as like business standpoint, I think WWE might have a easier time marketing Neville. Sure, sure, he's short, you know, but he's a British guy. Once you get rid of the stupid gimmicks or whatever, at the end of the day, he's a British guy who can really go in the ring. Not saying that Tommy can't go in the ring, but he's still learning English. And I don't know if you could market him, put him in front of an audience, put him with the mic, and say, hey, look at this guy. Also, Neville's younger, so you'll get more mileage out of Neville than you will of Tommy. So while I think they're both fucking phenomenal, and I'd like to see all three of these guys pushed all the way to the moon, think you got fiery Tommy. Keep Neville. Push Kalisto.
Travis.
All right.
Dust yourself off there before you.
Shut up. Okay, so for my push, I'm gonna go with the Tommy.
All right.
For my keep, I'm gonna go with Neville. So that means Kalisto. Go to Lucha Underground.
All right. That came up quite a bit.
And the reason I was kind of torn, I knew immediately Kalisto, he could go. He could be the expendable one. You have something with these other two guys. I wanted to originally say push Neville, but we saw what pushing does to Neville. Not good. He gets capes and purple attire. Tommy, there's something there. They haven't done it yet.
And this is coming from you, who hasn't seen much of Kenta from Ring of Honor or from IWGP.
Right. But if they harness and focus and pay attention to what they're doing and use shit like the documentary with Hogan, bringing him in and talking to him and putting him over, and really showcasing the fact that, hey, this is a Japanese wrestling superstar that WWE's never capitalized on. I don't think they've ever had an opportunity to actually push. Seriously, I'm not talking Tajiri being an assistant to Regal or whatever. I'm talking
not Hayatai, not Kenzo Suzuki, not Hakushi, not anyone with pedigree.
Exactly.
The way Kenta
I'm talking,
has.
Yeah, I'm talking legitimate wrestler.
/ kickboxer.
/ fucking Kenta.
I mean, I think the last one that was serious was Steamboat.
Yeah, but that's legit. I mean, that's storyline. But I'm talking legit
exactly.
Japanese
yes.
superstar.
Mm-hmm.
With fans already built in.
There you go. You got something there. I don't know if WWE is, quite frankly, intelligent enough to actually do it properly. But there's one way to find out. So push them.
The push for me is super duper easy. Without even looking at the three guys. Who is the... Where did the WWE Heavyweight Champion come from? Half of our tag champs, where did he come from? Where did our Intercontinental Champion come from? Our NXT Champion, where is he from? Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a guy that's been in Ring of Honor and has done some damn good work in Ring of Honor, and all the guy, and half the guys that currently have belts that have been from Ring of Honor can vouch for this kid, let alone Hulk Hogan... easily, hands down. You say he doesn't know English. You're exactly right, he doesn't know English. There's a lot of things he doesn't know. That's a lot of things that we can learn to love about him, grow with him. Like the Hardys, for example. Oh man, they were curtain jerking at Ring of King of the Ring 95, opening the doors for the wrestlers to come out. Then they gradually got their push in WWE. Oh my god, they beat Legion of Doom on Sunday Night Heat. Holy shit, let's start cheering these guys. Oh my god, they took their shirts off. They look sexy. Let's start winning our vaginas for these guys. Holy crap, they did TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17. Let's solidify them as Attitude Era badasses. Holy crap, they split up Hardy's ECW champion, Jeff Hardy's WWE champion. Okay, like they grew with him. They went through their journey together. And then you got this kid fresh off, wet from the ears from Japan, coming into the States, leaving his wife and kids behind so he can follow his dream, being in WrestleMania, learning English from Funaki, learning the ropes from a lot of new guys that he's never worked with before, but getting help from some of the guys that he's had tenure with. The video, the documentary, him talking to Daniel Bryan, him getting kudos from Big Show. You know, they've from what we've seen now of all three guys on the roster, I think there's so much already invested in Kenta storyline wise. It would be an epic fail for them to drop the ball.
Yeah,
that's a slow burn that you can't just blow it out and just try again with somebody else. That slow burn, you need to keep putting at it. Keep looking at it. Make sure it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And then when you're ready to make the wildfire go, you find the forest and let it go. Kenta's the guy. He's my push. And that's without me having my heart on for Kenta. All the facts.
That's without the heart on?
Without the heart on. Jesus. With the heart on, one of y'all are going to have broken glasses. Kenta is my push. I hate to say that my fire is Kalisto because any Mexican can fill that mask. Junico did it. Mystices did it. Right? How many guys in WCW wore masks? Anybody can wear a mask. Anybody can be young and wear a mask. If you want to sell masks, doesn't matter who's wearing
them. Lucha Underground is filled with them.
Lucha Underground is filled with them. Neville, though, man, what they've done to him so far from the transition from NXT to WWE, I kind of wish they put Neville back on NXT. Like, I would, like, this was the fear I had even from last year when they started bringing these NXT guys. They're not going to know what to do with them. Vince McMahon's only going to want to hold them for a cup of coffee, and once the coffee gets cold, he's going to go to another cup. Mm-hmm. That's all that's happening right now. That's what's happened with Paige, her run in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Adam Rose in the beginning. Mm-hmm. What else?
Bray.
Who?
Holy fuck, Bray.
Yeah.
And then now with the Ascension, come on. No. I'm pushing Tommy, and I'm like straddled in the middle of either firing
or he's straddled
or keeping Neville and Kalisto, because they're both short, they both have flaws, they both have things about them that I don't really like.
That's not to say that if we weren't playing this game, you wouldn't want all three of them pushed, correct?
I wouldn't want Neville pushed.
Really?
Again, for me, as a fan of all the three things I've seen so far, they haven't shown me anything for me as a fan to have sympathy and investment in Neville.
What if, like, see, when we play Push, Keep, Fire, I kind of think of it as whenever we're talking about push, I'm thinking push them in the correct, proper way. I think what you're thinking with push is let us get more of what we got right now with the cape and the ears and the fucking all that shit. Like, when I say push, we're the ones that are booking, so I'm gonna decide how I'm gonna push this guy. How am I gonna push him? Take the cape off, let his fucking hair down.
What's gonna get staler? The lucha gimmick with Kalisto with the hands thrown up in the air, or Neville's cape?
Neville's cape.
I'm firing Neville.
Okay.
Because that goddamn cape.
I'm keeping Kalisto.
Alright. Now can I get to the fucking...
You got Twitter handled, right?
Yeah, I got Twitter up here. All right. So, this is from our friend Christine at ShockZ314. Keep Neville because he's already on the roster. Okay. Push it, Tommy, because I don't think he's gotten as much attention from NXT. And then fire Kalisto. Mm. All right. Again, these are Twitter, so they're going to be a little bit shorter. Then I got one from Nick E. Dozan. This is a new guy. I don't know who he is. You can follow him at Nick Gator, G-A-T-O-R. He says, push Kalisto, keep Itami, fire Neville, but only because of marketing. And then, Jake agreed with him, at 1013 Jake. So yeah, there you go. Boom. Those are the two from, the Twitter machine. What Facebook. Do you got from Facebook?
Got some interesting ones.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Bart Harris. Push them all, fire the New Day. Joshua Alexander calls us all evil bastards for having to put him in this situation.
Thank you, sir.
He pushes.
No one forced him to answer this.
Hey, we want people to answer this. He pushes Itami, not because he loves Kenta, but because he is already an international star. It's time WWE had a Japanese main eventer.
There you go.
And he Travis. Wants him to see, and he wants to see him face Debray for a belt.
That'd be nice.
Which one? Not specific. Wasn't specific. Let's keep Neville. I'm writing this as I watch Neville versus Dolph, the moveset alone. Wow.
Tell you that 450 off the barricade.
Sadly, let's cut Kalisto only because that's the game. It hurts just typing that. Dylan Fry. This is a tough one. I honestly would fire Hideo Itami. Mm-hmm. He's not going to connect with the U.S. audience like they desperately need him to. While he's arguably the most talented of the three, he's also the oldest.
Yep.
Keep Kalisto because he's the mass luchador that reaches the Hispanic audience that WWE needs. And push Neville because even though he does a lot of the same high-flying stuff every week, Travis, after every match he leaves me saying wow at least once.
Okay. You keep doing the same thing, you're not going to be saying wow every week.
Okay.
Daryl Hughes, push Neville, keep Kalisto, fiery Tommy. Again, you evil bastards. So that's two for the bastards team.
Thank you.
I'm smelling a new shirt.
Houston Wrestling Radio. Evil bastards.
Heel stable.
With like the Russian flag like filling in the letters. Thomas Barnes. Push Neville, keep Kenta, speaking and fire of Kalisto. He botches more than the other two.
No, he doesn't. What? Okay. I think he's confusing Kalisto with Sin Cara.
Julio Del Aguila, if I have to. Well, he's bordering that bastard fence. Push Itami, keep Neville, and fire Kalisto, and now I'm sad.
We're just breaking hearts over here.
Dylan Robert Howland III.
What? Wait, say that name again.
Dylan Robert Howland III.
Howland. Three. Wow.
Yeah, Howland III. So there's two more of these, apparently. Poor guy. Push Neville, keep Kalisto, fire Itami. Neville's a star, plain and simple. Yeah, because that's the promo package. He's like a comet.
The star, yeah, the comet. Yeah.
Yeah, dead star. Kalisto will be good to keep around so WWE can have a steady face for its Latin audience, especially now with Rey gone and Sin Cara being a bust. Itami should just be fired because WWE will ultimately ruin him and tarnish his legacy. Kenta or not, WWE has had a hard time building up Japanese stars to really connect with the audience.
Yep.
That sounds like an underlying theme here.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Derrickson. Push Neville. He's got big box office written all over him.
It's the cape, man.
Just so.
Yeah, if Marvel decides to do a Mighty Mouse movie.
I just want Jeff and I to be clear. He has big box office written all over him. Nothing there. I don't see the resemblance between the word big and Neville. So right off the top, we disagree. Keep Itami. Once he's able to adapt to the WWE style, he will be great. Fire Kalisto. He'd be just fine as the world champion of Lucha Underground. Chody Young.
This guy.
Yeah, he had the same reaction. He goes, oh, for fuck's sake. Obviously, fire Kalisto. Push Neville, keep Hideo. Iffy, fire the Ascension. That's all he put.
These people don't know how to play the game.
Speaking of don't know how to play the game, Andrew Williams, cheap man Seth Rogen, for anybody that was at the first WrestleThon. Fire Kalisto, either or on the other two.
just either or, yeah. That's it.
I just want to bring up one thing that has been mentioned, half-assed, by a lot of these commenters, you included.
Okay.
Yeah, let's push Kalisto because he's gonna bring back all the Latin audience that Ray that was missing because Ray left because of his injuries and because Sin Cara was a bust and because of whatever. You know what everyone else has forgotten when they say this, when they bring this up?
What's that?
I did not see one mention of Alberto Del Rio, and that's why I didn't care if they fired Kalisto
because
the way WWE has treated their Latin audience and had it made public by the way they handled the Del Rio situation. And by the way, the contract agreement, trying to work out a renewal for Mysterio.
Yeah.
They have not shown a good track record as of late of their treatment to the Mexican wrestling.
All the more reason for them to not fuck it up and do good with one of their guys.
I'd say.
Again, when I say push, I'm thinking if I'm in charge of the WWE. And if I'm saying I'm going to push them, I'm assuming that we're pushing them correctly. You have a good point.
It's not fair to just say have Kalisto there because he can replace what they lost with Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Rey is well more established.
Ooh,
He came in already in 2002 as a top name.
Right.
Came in, for people that know of Rey Mysterio, he came in at 97. In WCW.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Already established.
I'm just talking WWE.
Yeah, okay, WWE.
WWE standpoint.
Yeah.
He was already thrust into a big situation going into this. Because everybody knew who he was, he had the big mask. We knew he was coming and this and that. Where Kalisto is just part of a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
For Mysterio.
And not many people know of Samurai Del Sol. But your argument would actually help the argument for Itami. Because Itami already has that built-in following that Mysterio had coming into WWE from another organization.
Yes, sir.
You know, with New Japan.
What they need to do with Itami, and just kind of armchair booking here, but have a situation... You could have done it before WrestleMania. Well, you could after, because now that Daniel Bryan is the IC champ, have him getting ganged up by all the heels that are in that little cluster, inner cluster, what the fuck you called it? I don't know.
What was it again, Chris?
Inner cluster fucking intel.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes.
So So basically, he's, you know, getting outnumbered. Who makes a save?
Tommy.
How many times has Daniel Bryan spoken of a Tommy in the past and this and that, how he's learned this and that from him?
A lot.
Yeah, and I think it would, you'd already thrust him into a big title picture without being forced into, like, shoved down your throats, pretty much.
Like the Kenta's, like the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. It just took a couple of old pictures and a nice 5-minute promo video. Everything already made sense.
Yep.
Same thing with you, with Kent and Bryan. That's all it'll take, yeah.
To a more fantasy booking type thing, if CM Punk was still here, the possibilities.
I think that's the other reason. Cesaro aside, and I think they tried a lot with Cesaro, but for the most part, they had enough faith in the Ring of Honor guys. Look what happened. How high did CM Punk get?
Yeah.
Longest title reign. How high did Bryan get? The moment at WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Seth Rollins, your current champ,
yep,
that left WrestleMania 31 with the main event of Lesnar and Reigns,
yeah,
and he left with the belt.
Yeah.
So having that Ring of Honor bad name card in your wallet, that's going to be a nice little like cut in front of the line kind of thing. To right. Where with Kenta having that class,
well, see, you keep going to the well with Ring of Honor with Kenta. Well, Kenta wasn't a Ring of Honor star. He was a New Japan star who every now and again wrestled at Ring of Honor. So did Samurai Del Sol. You know, he every now and again showed up in
Ring of Honor. I haven't heard of Del Sol or whatever.
Neither have I.
Like, what's his name? I don't even fucking
know. I've heard Kenta. I've seen Kenta.
Yeah.
We were there.
We were there. Yeah. Super Card of Honor before WrestleMania 25.
Yes, sir.
That was really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. All right, so that was a very fun round of Push, Keep, Fire. We tortured our poor listeners.
They love us for it.
Yeah. And yeah, I think we all wound up, you know, having many different points of view on this thing and valid arguments on all sides. So that was awesome. That was fun. That was a good one. We'll try to do some more Push, Keep, Fires whenever we come up with some good ones. But
if you think the next one's going to top it, then just give up. Just lower your expectations and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, this was probably one of our best. you know, this week our fan interaction. Answer HWR, where would you like to see
Raw or a pay-per-view?
Raw or a pay-per-view. Anywhere on the globe. Don't say your hometown. Be creative about this.
Yeah. Unless your hometown is...
Not Houston.
Right.
Like, oh, I am from Glasgow. I want it here. Like, okay, thank you for listening to us in Glasgow. Scott. Fuck! No, Scott, you don't count.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. For this stuff we're talking about, you mentioned something in there, when we were talking about Push, Keep, Fire, you snuck in, Wrestlethon?
Yes.
Yes. Wrestlethon 2, the
Revengeing.
Revengeing.
The reset button.
Yes. You know, gotta put this over again. It was such a great time, last year. We're doing it again this year. Well, we're not. Jake is. That's his rodeo, and we're just helping him promote it. It's gonna be April 24th through the 26th. It is a 48-hour straight live stream where he's playing wrestling video games on all kinds of different systems, ranging from old school 8-bit systems to, you know, current day PS4 and Xbox One stuff. And it's all for a great charity, Children's Play Charity. And what they do is they buy toys and video games and stuff for children's hospitals. So for kids that are in the hospital for a long period of stay, they can, you know, keep themselves entertained and play with stuff and keep their spirits up and all that good stuff. So it's a good charity and it's a good thing Jake's doing here at Wrestlethon. So, try to tune in. The way you could do that is by going to twitch.tv/Wrestlethon. Of course, that's if you're, using just a web browser. I know that, you know, PS4s and Xbox Ones, you could just have the Twitch app on your Xbox and you just
search Wrestlethon.
Yeah, just search Wrestlethon. Yeah. Thon.
No G.
No thong. Yeah. No. Boo. That's a completely different thing.
That's after hours. That's if we reach the goal. I'm gonna go from boy shorts to thong real quick. You need that moneymaker, baby.
Okay, let's try not to shoot for that.
So, you know, there might be some local indie Houston guys showing up. There might be other surprises as well. So, you know, keep tuned to their Facebook page and their Twitter. Both Russellthon. Real easy to find. They also have an email, russellthon@gmail.com. If you want to, like, help with the event, or maybe you have something to give that we could give away, cause there are going to be giveaways. So, you know, last year we gave away copies of, WWE 2K14, because we got straight from the freaking video game company. It was cool. He got them. Sorry.
Yes, we didn't do
shit. And, you know, maybe some shirts or something. We'll figure it out. But yeah, check it out. Russell Thon. No G. ROW, was this past weekend?
Anything special? I haven't heard anybody say anything about it.
Mysterious Q got his mask pulled off by Falaba.
On purpose or?
On purpose. Oh, okay. Yeah. It was part of the storyline. Basically, Falaba beat the hell out of him and, stood over him after getting the title and his hand raised. And he's like, you know what? I'm just taking this motherfucker's mask off. And he just ripped it off. And, you know, Kelly Kevin, you know, had to go and take a towel and put a towel over Q's head. And he staggered out of the ring with a towel over his head and everything. So, and, you know, that was interesting. So yeah.
See, that would be good, but all you hear about is just the fact that they had Bret Hart and Ricky Steamboat there.
Right.
That's all like anybody said at all. That's all literally.
And that was like before the event.
Right.
At the very beginning, they had Steamboat and Hart come out and basically just say, "Hey, thanks for having us. Houston's great. Booker's great. You know, your fans are awesome," and blah blah blah. And like that's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, it was cool, you know, seeing Bret and Steamboat in the ring.
I wanted to go just to get Steamboat's autograph because I haven't met him yet. So
that would be cool. But then after that, it was, you know, kind of business as usual. Although that kid from the Legion, the short blonde haired kid, fuck man, that guy.
Flippy Dippy 101.
That guy, he's awesome. I really like that guy. He did another one of his amazing Flippy Dippy stunts where everybody was down on the ground or whatever outside the ring, and he jumped up on the top rope and did a flip and bowled them all over. It was great.
What's his name?
I have no fucking clue.
I remembered his name from camp for like 30 minutes and then I forgot.
Yeah. He's Legion member number 3. Like that.
Goon number 3.
The short blonde one. Yeah. That one. Yeah. He's fucking great.
Yeah.
So, and the new Heavenly Bodies won back the tag team titles. Really?
Okay, I think I'm ready to go home now.
Yeah. It was like, oh, okay, let's reunite Harlem Heat. That'll finally get the belts off him and bring it back to Houston. Okay, the next freaking event. Oh, yoink, oops. Never mind, we got it back. Like, what, really? They're trolling us. I'm telling you, they're trolling us. But all in all, it was a pretty good event.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anything else, guys, that y'all need to talk about? Or are we done?
What's the one Mortal Kombat 10 character you're looking forward to playing with first, Travis?
My go-to is always Sub-Zero.
Yeah! Abel. Nice.
Baraka.
Is he in the game?
I don't know. He should be.
I don't think he's on the
He's team. Not? Why not? He's my favorite. I love using Baraka.
He was in 9, right?
I think so. He was in one of the next-gen ones. Yeah. I remember playing with him.
I guess we're going to go find and play. I got it right over there. So. Yeah.
Chris. Don't say Scorpion.
I actually want... I don't know if you're getting this version. I wouldn't mind trying out Jason.
Yeah, I'm going to get the
Jason track. Voorhees.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the last one had Freddy.
Freddy.
And somebody else, right?
No, that was the only
one. Freddy was the only one? Yeah. Well, this... Yeah, I'm tempted to play Jason.
Nice.
Yeah. So. That's our review. All right, let's... that's our tease from...
All right, let's go play Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Goodbye, everybody.
Finish him. That's it? No adios, my friends?
No, keep
it
we're classy. Talking about fucking Mortal Kombat. I figure we'd change it up a little bit. Fine. Fine. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Dustin!
Bitch!
Get over here!
Yeah. That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.